B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Download the Sports Hub app today.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. No!
It's the
Bengals.
Did
that count?
Yep.
Back in the
and the other.
Okay. Get help today.
And Fist of Cash in his chest.
Oh! 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. The Bankroll Boys. They're brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook. Rhode Island now open at Twin River and Tiverton Casino Hotels, the only places in New England you can legally bet on sports, powered by William Hill. Get details at sportsbetri.com. Dan Lifshatz, Joe Murray, both in studio. And Joe Murray letting us down, Dan Lifshatz, not betting the NIT. Is this something that you've been doing?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
I found you have to give it a few games because I think Joe mentioned earlier the rules are different for the tournament than they are for the rest of college basketball. So once you see there's a few minute adjustments, then you can kind of tweak and kind of figure everything out from there.
Okay, so have you been successful with the NIT?
I haven't really bet that.
Tell
much.
Tell Fred about Lipscomb.
Oh yeah, so I've been riding Lipscomb all year. They're a small conference team, but they just dominated conference play. They were playing some decent teams in their conference and really dominated them throughout the year, with the exception of Liberty. I think Liberty won their conference tournament. They actually beat Lipscomb in the final. But other than that, I mean, really, they've been, they're a fun team to watch.
Okay, so how long have you been riding Lipscomb?
I think 3 months.
Probably.
Yeah. This kid's been telling me about him. I'm like, What's their mascot?
So
they're the Bison, by the way.
So they caught your eye.
Yeah, they've been a team that's just been one of those teams you clearly find that has good value on the in those games that aren't wildly as bet, and because of that, you can usually find good value on a team like that.
All right. So did you ever bet on the AAF?
No.
Okay.
I never did.
All right. So you did not like that.
No, I didn't. I did see that FanDuel is paying out all of their future bets, which is interesting, and marking them all as winners.
Really?
So FanDuel is marking, I guess they only, now it's a small portion. They only had $10,000 in future bets, which is a insignificantly tiny market for most betting platforms. But the fact is that they're paying out all of those future bets and marking them all as winners. It's more promotion than anything, and kind of.
Imagine betting the Patriots to win 11 games, and the season stopped 8 weeks in,
and they just call it a win.
And they're like, "Yeah, we'll give you the win on that one."
Right. So the season win totals, they're calling winners. There's a whole bunch of places that are actually being fairly, good about it, which is surprising because most books are not great about that thing. So I didn't personally bet on it, but people who did are actually kind of being rewarded in a way.
All right, so what is it? Vegas Joe is the guy?
Vegas Dave.
Vegas Dave. All right, so Vegas Dave is part of this documentary series that's going on Showtime. And Dan, I've heard that you've gotten into it with him.
I don't like him. I had some choice words for him in Vegas a few years
ago. So you saw him in Vegas?
About not this time around.
Casino?
Oh yeah, he got banned recently. It was more recently. Once he got charged, he was banned. But you also have to understand these guys have runners, so they pay people to go bet for them. So it's not he's banned. Like they still have people.
New term there, runners. Haven't heard that one.
All right, so they have guys that go in and place the bets for
right.
Them.
So he'll give them $500 and they'll go place, a 50 grand bet for him, something like that.
All right, so this Vegas Dave, he claims that he hits 73% of his bets.
If he hits 43%, I'd be shocked. Honestly, what he does, he sells picks to people. So players, he's a tout. So players like me and Joe, if we wanted to, we wanted to start years ago, maybe we would buy picks from someone like Vegas Dave. And what he does is he say is he's say he sells 100 plays to 100 different people, okay? He will give 50 one side of the play and 50 the other side of the play. Therefore, he always has a happy crowd and he cannot possibly lose. And he makes money off the transaction. While he may have 50 unhappy people, they'll probably come back because they'll see, oh, he's still winning. It was a one-time
thing. And he'll show a winning ticket as well.
Exactly.
Like, oh, this is what I had here. But he hedged the other side, and all those other people lost.
And all he's eating is the juice.
That's why these tout servers. And Fred, I asked you this yesterday. Would you ever pay for picks?
No.
This guy charges $500. $500.
Yep.
And like we've been getting, you know, we've been doing the podcast now about 40 weeks, and we get people now. Hey, watch out for this guy. He's a scam. Like, don't buy picks on the internet. Don't do it. If you don't, if you can't make a choice yourself, don't pay for it elsewhere. And listen, if on Twitter people do give out free picks, that's why we say fade or follow the pick. If you think I suck, fade my pick. You'll make money, especially in the tournament right now because I suck. But football season, if you wrote us, you would have won at 62% this year.
All right. So, Dan, when you saw Vegas Dave, did you have a confrontation?
I don't really want to get into it, Fred. I'm sorry. Basically, here's the thing. I was with a crew of people who didn't like him either, and we were all... Here's the thing. He gives people like Joe and I a bad name. You know, he makes it so that you look like, oh, you're a degenerate. You are a...
But you are a degenerate, aren't you?
Well, yeah, but like, but like, I'm saying in a real bad way, Fred. Like, I'm saying like, oh, like that, you know, you're a scam artist. You're this, you're that. Like, you take people's money. Like, and we're giving picks for free. We're not, you know, we're not doing that.
We're just guys on the radio who are giving out.
Right. But he gives people in the industry or the industry we're trying to, you know, break into, I guess, he gives them a bad name. And he's, since he's such a big name now, which is really funny because he sucks. It's frustrating, you know, to see a guy like that have such success. I mean, really what he did is he borrowed money from a loan shark. Bet on a game, hit big, and then ever since then he's been riding that money. Yeah. And he's not like this multi-billionaire that he claims to be. Like he's not hitting 75% of his bets. If he was, he wouldn't be selling picks. Plain and simple.
All right, so you don't want to get into it, but was there like a physical confrontation?
No.
Okay.
No, but I mean I would not be surprised if he has had multiple physical confrontations, which is explained why his parents probably moved to Vegas, because I know people who have gotten into physical confrontations. Yeah, I mean, he's a tiny dude. He's like 5'2".
Fred, this is like if you went out, if I saw like the situation or one of those guys, I'm definitely going to talk trash to them. Like,
why would you talk trash to the sitch?
I'd be
he's
like,
the inspiration now. Well, he's
I don't know. Dude, whenever I see someone famous, I always yell something at them. Come on, Bird. I'm sure Bird's done it at Fenway before.
Well, Bird doesn't see anyone famous. He's over there in Everett. The most famous guy is the...
Bird.
And I don't know if that's because we're like a punk Boston kid, but like whenever I saw somebody famous, I'd always yell something
at them. Don't put the situation in this. He's been clean for 3 years.
He really does look like him, though. Like, it's... Vegas Dave in the situation.
They
the
look
fat,
very
fat situation.
Similar.
Oh, man.
Except for the fact that Vegas Dave is like 5'2". Yeah.
But, Dan, I don't want to push you on this, but is there a reason you don't want to get into your confrontation with him?
Because first off, I can't really use the words I would like to use on the radio. And second off, it's just, there's nothing else to say. I just don't like the guy, so I don't really like talking about him. With the exception of the fact that obviously this documentary is out, or you know, whatever they want to call it, show, and so it's kind of lending credence to who he is, and people are actually seeing what he's actually about. So, I mean, I don't like the guy. That's okay. I mean, pretty much my confrontation with him was swearing and you know, and a couple dudes getting in his face. Nothing really.
Okay, so now have you guys have been obviously betting on the tournament? And Joe, you said you have not had a lot of success.
Yeah, I wanted to bet every single game for the podcast. Just like, it's stupid. Don't bet. You got to pick spots. But yeah, I'm like right at 500.
Okay.
Like right at 500.
Has there been any chicanery?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was a Tennessee game. There was an LSU game. There were a 3-point spread. They won by 2. Wofford was a 5.5-point favorite dog. They lost by 6.
But they covered the first half.
Purdue was 4.5 when they lost last week. They lost by 5
in overtime. In the end. So it was an overtime game. They were down by 3 and fouled with like 1.3 seconds.
I won't blame the officials. The books are dead on. Like, dead on. If you're just like an average bettor who is a square, you've lost your You lost your face.
What do you think about the Golden State game where the officials obviously...
Well, that was... They egged them on. I definitely think there was something to that, though.
Well, no.
And a foul at the end of the game there?
Yeah, like, there was something.
Well, that's the NBA. We've talked about this how many times?
Yeah, the NBA is...
The other night,
shady.
The Celtics were 7-point favorites. A 3-point shot at the buzzer. Bam Adebayo. He's never hit a three in his life. Hit a three at the end of the game. It shouldn't have been that close.
So, you guys... Because the Golden State thing was pretty egregious. But,
yeah.
So what percentage of NBA games do you think are fixed?
30%?
Yeah, 25-30% probably against the spread. Yeah,
I wouldn't say fixed. The refs are involved.
Okay, so the refs are aware of the spread.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you go on, you can see the records, you know, over-unders, home teams. Like, that's the biggest thing when it comes to playoff betting. It's like, oh, this guy's betting tonight. Got to go against the other. That was big with the whole Celtics and their big run.
I mean, just go back and look at the Donaghy case. His buddy, Scott Foster, still in the league and still refs a large portion of these games. I mean, that guy is in on it with Donaghy. And there are a lot of people who think that there's going to be something coming down the pike in the next year or so regarding two specific NBA refs who I do not know the names of, but there have been a lot of rumors in the gambling community that there are two NBA refs right now who are actually under investigation by the FBI, and that, you know, that will come down within the next few years.
Now, can you use that to your advantage as prognosticators?
Well, I mean, you would have to really know what these guys are betting on, what sides they're on. So, I mean, you can hope and pray that you're on the right side.
If it's a game four and the Celtics are in Indiana and Scott Foster's the ref, you might as well take the Pacers.
Okay, yeah. So you're saying that. All right, I have to ask you this for sponsorship reasons. And then I want to ask you about the Final Four. But the Stone Cold Lock of the Week is brought to you by the all-new Sportsbook Rhode Island, now open at Twin River Casino Hotel. What is the Lock of the Week? Are you in agreement with this?
I'm going to take Becky Lynch -250 to win the Women's World Championship in WWE this weekend.
Oh, come on. You can't earn money like betting on wrestling, right? Isn't there a cap?
Yes, you can.
Isn't there like a cap? Because
the odds just came out. I just did a podcast with the guys last night inside the ropes.
You know what Becky Lynch did with me?
I don't know, but I know she was on your show.
And she was very flirtatious.
She's very attractive.
She was very flirtatious. Rich, you would agree.
I wasn't here that day.
But you've seen the video.
Oh, yeah, she bit her lip. She did.
Yeah, she was like, she was very, very flirtatious.
Mm-hmm. But I think Becky Lynch wins at WrestleMania.
I mean, laying 250 on wrestling is just, that's degenerate, Joe. That's degenerate. I'm going to be, I'll give out an NHL point because I said I would. I'm taking the Sharks Oilers over 6.5 tonight.
Because you kill it in hockey, right?
I do very well in hockey,
Okay. And so, finally, the Final Four is this weekend. What do you guys got?
So I said at the start of the tournament, I've told him this from the start of the year, my favorite two teams in the entire tournament field were Duke and Michigan State. And I said, whoever wins that game will win the tournament. No doubt. That's what I said at the beginning. I said, North Carolina has a shot if they can make it to the Final Four, but I didn't think they would. They didn't. So I'm taking Michigan State. I have future bets on both Duke and Michigan State. We're riding those. And that's what I started with the tournament, and actually probably like before conference tournaments. So
yeah, it's gonna be hard for me to go against Auburn at this point. They put up too many points.
Yeah, Virginia's their best players hurt.
Still, Virginia has difficulties putting up points. They snuck out a win their last game. So for me, like Auburn, Bruce Pearl, he's a Boston guy. Should have been at Boston College.
He loves
that's
to
my
cheat.
Guy.
He loves cheating more than anyone else in the world. All right, so you got Auburn, you got Michigan State. All right. The Over-Under podcast is available now. Just go to 98.5 The Sports Hub or the app or the website, and you can listen to the Over-Under podcast. Mr. Lifshatz, Mr. Murray, thank you so much for the time. And go bet on hockey. Go and bet on Becky Lynch.
Would you bet over 11 wins for the Patriots
now?
Probably. Yeah, I would.
Even though they should suck? Yes.
They haven't gone under their win total since 2009.
Yeah. I mean, even though they have no coaches and no receivers, they're probably just going to run the ball. And so I would assume that that's enough.
And once again, it's a matter of look at the division. You say it every year going
into the Jets. I think the Jets are going to win 8 games.
I don't think the division's that bad. I think everyone underrates this division in the past 10 years. I mean,
I think the division,
the stats.
I think Buffalo and New York are going to be 500 teams.
What about the Browns? Aren't they like 9.5? Is that right?
We'll be discussing that coming up on the podcast.
You like the over? Well, I'll tell you this. Don't take it.
Okay. I know you're not a Baker guy.
I am not a Baker guy. And just because you added a wide receiver doesn't make your team.
It's not just a wide receiver.
Well, that's the big move. All right. You guys enjoy yourselves. We'll be back. Robert Kraft, new information about how he's trying to buy his way out of any trouble if he gets in. And we will have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We'll get to the Robert Kraft stuff later. Guy from Machine going to be on at 8 o'clock. Danny Ainge at 9. And Joe Murray, you were here yesterday. And by the way, I'm finding out more about this Vegas Dave guy.
Scumbag.
Now, what's the name of the show on Showtime?
Action.
Okay, it's called Action.
Yeah.
And you guys hate him because he has you pay for picks, but he does it 50-50.
Listen, I don't like touts to begin with. That's my whole thing. With this guy is they're promoting him essentially. This show is promoting this guy. He has won bets, so I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, like the guy stinks at what he does, and I don't believe his percentage, but he did hit for over $1 million on that Kansas City game. Like, he has hit on some big games. So the guy has money. Like, it's legit. At the same time, though, as Dan said, these touts, they put money on once. They'll give picks to 50% of the crowd to show that they have a winning ticket. And that's why I don't like the guy. And he stole people's social security numbers and routing numbers. So, someone just sent me a private message just now about a back and forth they had with Vegas Dave. And it's him saying, all right, what's your account number? What's your routing number? Like, I would never give that information through Twitter.
And the idea is so he could wire the money to them?
Yeah.
All right.
And like, Venmo, I get it. Like, you can do that if you want. But, yeah, that's why I don't like this guy. He charges $500 a pick for picks. And for me, like, I would never pay to do that. I would, like look at some people. I think some people do have information, Fred. Like, just information on refs or injuries or things like that. Like, you know, the casino, was it Sam Rothstein? Like, that was his big thing. He would get information, tell people, they'd get on the phones, they'd start telling people this is what Sam's on, and it would move the lines like that. I do think some people have information, but at the same time, I probably wouldn't go out of my way to buy the picks.
And you think that the NBA is 30% fixed?
I think the NBA is influenced by the officials knowing the lines. And every single betting game, especially you'll see it in the playoffs. Dude, we could go through when the Celtics play in the playoffs, we'll look at all the refs, you know, over-unders, and we'll see how it works out. And I'm telling you, like, when the Celtics were on that big run, all these games went to Game 7. And if you notice, they could not get a win on the road, and it's because those refs favored the home teams. I've seen it for years. So I'm not saying it's fixed. I just think that the referees have an impact in it.
All right. So when the next time the Bankroll Boys are on, it could be the playoffs.
It will be the playoffs. That's right.
And you can go through the refs, and we can pay attention to that. So you think they have money on the games, basically?
I think they influence the game. You got to watch this Tim Donaghy thing, man. It shows how they're all from, like, the same area, and, like, it's just crazy how, like, and Dan said maybe two people will be under investigation. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. But, again, like, for me, it's a hard sport to bet on because the lines are dead on, and somehow I don't know how these teams went. Like, last week, the Celtics were up 7 points in Charlotte. I look up, and they lose by, like, 5 or whatever. Like, how does it happen that quick? And, again, I go back to that Sacramento game. I was very upset about that when I pushed, but I don't think that was a foul from Gordon Hayward late. I think that was a foul to keep it close, and I think Sacramento's been one of the best teams against the spread all year, and I'm sure the refs knew that. Oh, and the Celtics are on the road. So I think a lot of these refs do favor the home team.
Okay. But yet you still gamble on the NBA.
Playoffs, I will. I haven't touched again. Last night I was going to take the Heat in mid-game. I thought they were going to, Celtics were going to blow it. They ended up winning by 10 points. I didn't think Gordon Hayward would take over the way he did.
Well, so you made the smart decision.
Yeah, I laid off it. Okay. I would have lost.
Right. What would you put the percentage on the Ron Bennington theory that I agree with, that Jerry Garcia was the Zodiac Killer?
I disagree, but the only thing I can say is if you watch the movie Half-Baked, he had a little Jerry Garcia in a pouch, and when they really needed it, he let it go, and he hit the girl with the guitar. So I don't know. That's as much as I know about Jerry Garcia maybe being violent by any means.
Because if you were in San Francisco at that time, he essentially had developed a cult that would protect him. And obviously by the music he's inflicted on people, he's capable of savage violence, or was, you would have to think. And so, if anyone could get away with it, it would be Jerry Garcia, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I guess everyone loves the dead, right?
Well, not normal people, but easily influenced people.
I think Jerry was well-respected.
By whom?
Musicians.
Morons.
I mean, listen, I'm not a Grateful Dead fan by any means. I'm not.
Right.
But I do think Jerry Garcia is very well-known. Yeah. Guitar player people like.
So if anyone could get away with a savage, bloody murder, in several of them, you would believe it would be...
Jerry could definitely get off on that.
Yeah. Like, he would... Apparently, this Zodiac Killer would go to places where the couples would make out. And don't you think that he could go there and he'd go, hey, you know, this is a jam, and then savagely murder them?
Yeah. He can play a little solo, and then...
On the ukulele or something, and then don't you feel it's possible he'd be full of bloodlust?
He could be full of bloodlust. Yes,
that
it's totally possible.
Yeah, that he would be, that his ultimate dream was destroying bodies. That he was obsessed with murder. You know, Pigpen in that band died. You don't think that was at the hands of Jerry Garcia?
Could have been influenced a little bit from it, I think.
Do you think that Pigpen was his responsibility?
I mean, with where you're going on it, yeah.
I mean, San Francisco in the 70s, an odd time to be there. Haight-Ashbury still going strong. Bill Graham putting on shows, very influential in the community. I mean, that's bloodlust, baby.
Yeah, supposedly he died of a hemorrhage in his stomach. So...
it was probably the guilt eating away at him.
There you go.
Or his inability to kill.
I don't know. I don't trust a hippie with a beard anyways.
No. So. They'll kill you. Maybe that's why he had the beard. Blood. Joe doesn't believe in betting on the NBA because he thinks, and he says if in the playoffs, look for the ref matchups and the spreads and the over-unders, and he says that the officials will take care of the rest.
Well, there's no sport that's more conducive to cheating, or at least having a corrupt official, more than basketball. Yep. And from all the stuff that I heard, Lifshatz, wasn't he kind of alluding to that something else is going to be coming down soon?
Yeah.
Isn't that, I've been kind of reading about this too. This is no like secret that apparently... there's some suspicion that's brewing around the league as of right now. But you don't think... see, but that makes me think that it would be even more on the level. Is that they know that... obviously, they would know more than anybody that there's eyes on them. So don't you think that if it's a regular news story that's out there that, hey, maybe there might be cheating in the NBA, that they would do anything to not cheat during the next several weeks?
No. Nope. No, I think they're still going to call fouls. The one thing with the NBA playoffs, though, is bet series. Like, I think Golden State will roll. I think it'll be Golden State and the Rockets somehow when it's all said and done. That's how you can make money, by betting on series.
Okay.
But yeah, then you can always hedge out of them during the games. But yeah, I've seen too many fishy things in the NBA. You mentioned the Golden State thing. Like, that was fishy.
Golden State thing was the official making a call essentially to punish the
team. They were down 18 points. He hits a big three to go up, and then he starts taunting the ref because the ref made a bad call earlier in the game.
And then the ref did that. Now, I also asked him if he could bet on the futures of who the Zodiac Killer was. And if you could put money on Jerry Garcia as being the Zodiac Killer.
What's the most random thing that you've put money on that you've won?
Could you bet on Jerry Garcia being the Zodiac Killer?
I'll look it up.
It's probably 2-1 odds.
I bet at Ladbrokes you could, like one of those places overseas. Isn't that like where you can bet on literally everything?
Yeah, I bet on Obama to win 1 year and hit on that. I bet UConn women once.
Oh, what, did you get 2 cents for that?
No, I actually had Brittany Griner 1 year in Baylor.
Ah.
Just a random game. I was like, let's go. She can dunk. Let's take her. I've bet on a lot. Tennis is unbelievable to bet on. It's a great sport. Oh, it's so good to bet on tennis.
Tennis?
Yeah, man. That's another thing where some people pull out, like, so, oh, I got a little hamstring thing, Serena Williams. And, like, if she's a big favorite, she'll bail out of the thing and the underdog wins. I see that a lot. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, you bailed out of that one. Like, if you see a tennis dog at, like, plus 800, might be worth putting a little
Is that because Serena needs the money?
No, somebody's just fixing it. I don't know.
She's fixing her hamstring.
If you can find someone that will take the action, because they're going to find the Zodiac Killer.
I mean, I know anyone will take the action.
Okay.
It's just we got to get the odds.
I think that if you bet a dollar, you would get 25 cents. I think it's in that it's a big favorite. Can you find it?
I mean, I can give you a few names. Some people think that they're like, yeah, I mean, I'll find odds. I mean, one name is Richard Marshall. I don't know if you know any of these names, but
that's what Jerry Garcia went by when he went to hotels.
Ross Sullivan, Lawrence Kane. These are people that are suspected to be the Zodiac Killer.
All right. Well, we'll find out. I guess there's hairs all over the place. And crappy banjos.
Fred,
that was his signature.
I have something special for you next that you're going to enjoy.
Okay.
This is something especially for Fred because it involves something that we've been
I've heard this. I think I know what it
you
is.
You have not heard this. You might have heard part of this.
Okay. But
when I get obsessed with something, I dig deep.
Okay. All right. Well, I look forward to hearing it. Here are the headlines.
98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. Boston's home for sports on your phone, Sox, Celts, Bruins, and Pats News. Podcast and listen live from anywhere.
Something is the key to all of this.
98.5 The Sports Hub. That's an app.
Brady won't throw me the ball because he has no trust in me.
Rich. Buddy, I have a super dry tongue. Look.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. There's a lot of hype around Motley Crue because Jeff Tremaine did the dramamentary or something?
Biopic,
like that. Biopic about a band that was very successful despite not caring about their music at all.
See, I think they're great. I think their greatest hits is excellent. Like, they've made at least 10 really good songs, including three classics.
Well, you've read The Dirt and you saw the movie. Vince Neil was not hired for his voice.
Vince Neil had a good voice on those albums. Like, when he tried to sing, you know, he had a pretty good, hair metal voice.
Well, both the book and the movie acknowledge that they did not hire him for his voice, that he had a bad voice. But regardless, that's not the point, because now he does. And, Rich, there was a viral video going out.
Well, so we talked a little while back about that Van Halen album that came out, which was, it's a live album. And this was unexcusable because this was an album, Joe, that everybody in the band sat down and agreed, let's release this. And when it came out, David Lee Roth's vocals, this is how it sounded. You sing it, because I can't sing it because I'm out of breath.
Yeah, at least they get Michael Anthony back for the next tour, so it will take a lot of off David's play.
Or not, you know. I mean, how can you say, let's release this?
No, I love Van Halen, the actual Van Halen.
Uh-huh.
And I left the show halfway through the first song because I do not want to remember them as what they were doing.
I warned Fred. I said, David Lee Roth sucks live now. It's pathetic. It's awful. You're going to hate it. And he showed up. And within by the end of the first song, Fred said, I am gone.
Yeah.
He can't hit a note. He sings every third word. That's
what pissed me off. It was the first, and it was Unchained, which is my favorite song by them.
Yeah, it was not good.
And he wouldn't sing.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never compare the bands, but I saw Chili Peppers live a year ago and no John Frusciante, and I was like, I wanted to leave immediately.
Well, Anthony Kiedis has got arguably the worst voice of anyone. Maybe unarguably.
Well, what's the difference between those words and that's what Anthony Kiedis does, right?
No. Well, Anthony Kiedis, he can't sing. I mean, he's fine.
David Lee Roth, at his worst, is still better than Anthony Kiedis. But all right, I digress.
So that brings us to Ty Anderson, who was related to Gary Cherone, who was once singer for Van Halen, sent me a video about a week or two ago and was like, dude, this is even worse than anything you ever played with Van Halen. And it was a video of Motley Crue. Now, this clip that many people might have seen has been going around the internet, and it's Motley Crue playing at this thing called Rock in Rio. It was in 2015. It was their final tour.
Right.
So I watched it, and it's just as bad as you think, but I said, you know what? Because I'm a sadist, I'm going to watch the entire set of Motley Crue from Rock in Rio 2015. So, Fred, my pain is your pleasure.
Yes.
I thought I would go back through. And this is no surprise, Fred. I mean, you've seen Vince Neil. I mean, my band back in the day, because we had just gotten signed to a management label and we were so low on the rung of priorities, even though we sounded nothing like Vince Neil, the management company put us on tour with Vince Neil, which, by the way, was really fun. We played like these, like, you know, butt places like Waukesha, Wisconsin, that just backed out.
You played some weird place in Michigan that I saw you.
It was like 3,000 people there.
No, I know.
What I'm saying is that
it was a venue I'd never heard of, and it was like 30 miles, 40 miles from the city. But Vince Neil came out like in a Hawaiian shirt with a bucket of beer. And, like, he had the bucket of beer, right, and he, like, put it on his stool.
So let's get to, if you want to know how Vince Neil sounds nowadays from Motley Crue, let's take a listen.
Yeah, that's it. Hope it never stops.
Can't see me hot, bot, see me hot. At one point, I think he's like, hot, hot, booty, tat, da, da, da.
Well, listen, at least he was giving the Asian people their taste of what it sounds like in Chinese.
Because you just can't tell. I mean, he's speaking in a foreign language. Get mad, you!
Booty, bee!
Ha, who, hey! How about a fee? Who, ha!
By the way, the singing that sounds normal, the girls on stage that are the backing vocals.
No, it's a pre-recorded vocal. When we played with Vince Neil, there was a keyboard in the back, and I'm not kidding you, during soundcheck, they pressed a button and it went, whoa! Yeah!
But there are girls with microphones.
There are, but also behind it is a pre-recorded track.
All right, fair enough. But I'm giving the girls some credit. It's odd that you can hear someone having a stroke on stage. It's not like they ever played this song live before.
Okay, stop. What is Chima?
He said two balls in my eye.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting club he's going to.
Well, listen, he's just expressing himself.
So it's a, this is
two balls in my eye.
It's Rock and Roll Mike's new album.
Rock and Roll Mike's a little more coherent.
So it's Herbert the Pervert from Family Guy joining a metal band.
Hey there, Mushroom. Kickstart my heart. Okay.
Okay, stop.
There's the breakdown.
I hope it never stops. I thought was the lyric.
Yeah, well he can't remember
Jim
that.
Simon, who I hear?
All right, so this is when it breaks down to. It goes like, you know, ooh, did it.
And then what is it? All we needed was a laugh.
Years gone by, I say we kick some ass.
Now we're out on the stage, down in the stage.
Adrenaline rushing through my face. Okay. And I still let's think that we're kicking ass.
Well, and let's see what Vince Neil says. Why not just say the words?
Because you're a lifelong alcoholic that killed a good friend of yours? We did. What, are you going to give him a break? He was on that surreal life and he was hammered the entire time. I mean, like, you figure when you kill your friend drunk driving, maybe you lay back a little bit on the liquor. But he looks great, is what I'll say.
Well, I told you we took a picture. Our band, you know, we first met him when we went on the tour. I took a picture. I gave it to a friend of mine. He goes, who's the woman? Who's like the fat woman you're next to?
He looks like you could pop his face. Like literally, like you could, if you slapped his cheeks, that like pus would go everywhere. Or just straight vodka. Still. And too hard to get out. Didn't do that.
Summer hot, never stop in the day. Did it all, the two.
Man with a bag.
Keep summer hot, have a never stopped. Hoogie boy, ride a high.
Well, hoogie boy, you got to wah to wah at every time of day. All right, we have to break. We'll have more of that coming up later in the show.
We was on this pan, all we needed was a lay. Okay,
when we found this pan, all we needed was some glam.
That's my favorite one.
I'm going to argue that they're still kicking ass. All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
the latest podcasts, the latest sports news, and for Toucher and Rich. Toucher and Rich. Download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. You want to hear a little bit more of Vince Neil?
You mean it gets better?
Three minutes of Vince Neil struggling.
Is this yesterday, or is this the one we just played, or is
no,
this a new one?
This is a little bit of a new one. Let's just give the people a taste.
All right. So as I was watching this concert, because I was fascinated, I'd seen the clip that was going around. I was like, now I got to find the whole thing. So I found the whole concert. I was like, trying to make predictions, like which ones would be the toughest ones for Vince Neil to do. And then I went back and thought about when we had done that tour with him. Like, oh yeah, this one always made us laugh.
Yeah, they just said, let's turn everything up so loud.
So what they did, and if you watch the video, it's phenomenal. Like, they put millions of dollars probably into covering up that Vince Neil just can't sing. Pyro, fire. Nikki Sixx has an actual flame cannon on his guitar, and it just can't save you from Vince being in front of a microphone.
Like they have turned up everything so loud. they're trying to bury the vocals.
They can't do it. We were talking about this off the air. At least Ozzy has a guy who stands backstage and sings every song and sounds just like Ozzy. I think it's that dude from Metal Church. I don't know if they still use him. But what they do is the guys running the soundboard have a headset on, and when Ozzy kind of starts to lose it, they pot that guy up. So no matter what, you're getting a good show. Now, it might not be Ozzy singing. It might be kind of, you know, musically not the best thing to do. But the product sounds great, unlike this.
Hear the wolves freaking whatever they say in that song. And then he couldn't remember to see the blood stain on the stage. I haven't heard these songs for 30 years, and I remember the lyrics better than he does.
Vince Neil does.
I don't pop on Motley Crue very often, and I remember the lyrics. He just said, turn on a light. Rock and roll!
Rock and roll Mike lives outside!
They put Rock and Roll Mike on stage.
I mean, he literally just said rock and roll. Sometimes you gotta have sex with a heavyweight!
Well, let's go! 9805!
Thank you, Rock and Roll Mike.
Mike is better than Vince Neil.
We've hit that point.
We've hit that point. And Vince Neil still is torn around.
I mean, that's Vince. That is Bob Dylan. That's heavy metal Bob Dylan. Yeah.
I shared this with you off the air, but that We Are the World, if you get a chance. Oh, my God.
Okay, so I have to see this. There's a documentary about the making of We Are the World?
No, it's just if Google it. It's on YouTube. Watch Bob Dylan, We Are the World, and he can't sing it. And it's 9 minutes of just him. He can't figure it out. And then when they show everybody, he's just completely just out on drugs. Just completely out of it. So great.
Well, he's no Dan Aykroyd. I'll tell you that.
It's right. He's in that. He's
Dan
in
Aykroyd
there.
Standing.
Oh, I noticed that. And I was going through it the other way. What the hell's Dan Aykroyd doing?
Who's the guy with the glasses back there? And it's Dan Aykroyd. All right. No commercials here. Just the headlines. We're going to find out one of our favorite people in the world and what they're up to.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.